Father, I just thank you again for everything that you've brought about this morning already, the way you have led us and directed us to go, the way this service has already been established and has gone forth, and that we can look to you and know that you know all things and take care of all things, and that our hope does not need to be in anything of this world, but in our Redeemer and in our Lord and Savior. And I just thank you, Father, for these words that you have given each and every one, and the songs that you have given each and every one, and the way you know our minds and you know our hearts. And I just ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word today as we hear it and as we commune together, Father, as well, that we would not think light of communion. In Jesus' name, amen. I did hear too, I don't know, I believe it's right, but the 31st is Jacqueline's birthday, I believe. Am I right? Yeah, on the Halloween day, or let's use Reformation. Are they? Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, nice. So if you see her, say happy birthday tomorrow, not today. I'm going to use ESV translation again with you guys today. It's kind of one of the ones that I use often. I enjoy it. And NLT can sometimes be really good too. But ESV today, and I'm going to read from Philippians, which you've probably seen in the bulletin already. But if you would flip to Philippians chapter 2. We'll read together Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry, or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A few questions I had as I went through this that had come up for myself, and you yourselves may have. One, if we live for others, do we have no self-worth? Two, do we live for others? That question in itself, we need to ask ourselves personally. If we have to, we should write it down and think about it. Do we live for others? Question three, what does it mean to live for others and not yourself? This sermon is going to evolve around that a lot, on how to live for others, should we live for others, and how we can do that in Christ, and how it is possible to do that. And I jumped into Philippians chapter 2 because this is kind of a theme that falls through all of Philippians as you study through it, as you read through it. And when you see that the theme has to do with, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, it really makes you think different on how Paul wrote this letter and Timothy, how they brought what they were trying to say to them to the church in Philippi. But before we dive in deeper to Philippians, want to give you a little history lesson. As I did last week as well with Ruth, the book of Ruth. Philippi did not have enough Jews to enable it as having a synagogue. Opposition from the Jews would not have been as high because of this, like other areas that Paul went to and ministered to and established churches. Along with this being true, this area had soldiers and others that had settled in the area due to a battle from the Romans that happened in 42 BC. Acts 16:12 proves that it was a leading city and a Roman colony. And verses 1:1, if you come back to the beginning of Philippians 1:1, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So this wasn't just to the deacons, this wasn't just to the elders, this was to all, the whole congregation. This was to each and every one of them to live in a way that we live for others. But first, we must have the mind of Christ, and through the mind of Christ, we can live and fulfill what God has for us as believers. Living for others, not only for ourselves, can bring up questions, as I said earlier. We may even start to feel like a little child who keeps asking why at every moment or opportunity. I know I was as I studied through this. This week, Rachel and myself were blessed with the opportunity to dine at a couple's home. They were very hospitable, personable. From what I got from them was that they wanted us to feel loved and cared for. They used plates that had sentimental value. That, to me, means something in itself. They brought the food to the table. They dished us. We dished ourselves up. They didn't give us styrofoam plates, along with slapping the food on our plates, but instead they treated us as special guests. We certainly felt like special guests. I'm not saying that you can never use styrofoam plates if someone comes to your house, because we've done it more than once, and dishes are no fun. I know our kids do not enjoy them. I don't enjoy them, but they do have to be done. We would call this hospitality. True, it is hospitable on what they did on their account. But not only was it hospitable, but it was also serving. I use this story to illustrate the point that when we serve others, we serve them because we, who are in Christ, have a new master. With serving a new master, we serve with a new mind, new direction, new spirit, and a new heart. We no longer live to please our flesh. Instead, we please our master. My family have a few dietary restrictions, as many of you have probably heard. There's three of us that are garbage cans, there's three of us that are not. But not only did they not think about the rest of it and do the rest of it, but they thought about our bodies and what was going on in the inside. They had the outward presentation, but as well they thought about the inside. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later. We'll stop there. Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. On the basis of Proverbs 28:26, Hall Harris said, it is arrogant to take no counsel but to rely only on one's own interest. Paul desires the Philippian believers to be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Same mind and of one mind. That's in 2:2 of Philippians. Of the same mind, I'm going to repeat it again, of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Let's read Philippians 2:1-3 again. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit. I said it right that time. Rivalry and conceit or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Mr. Peeler, who was a teacher at Miller College, he wrote a book as well to do with Philippians. But he said something in the book, he said something in general. You cannot live for others if you do not know how to live with others. So maybe we should all move into the church building and then we should live together and see if we can have the same mind. That's not what I'm saying. But he did say this in the sense of union versus unity. Union versus unity. We must not be separate, but we must think with the same mind. Amen. If we live with someone, we now have to take that other person into consideration. When I first moved in with my wife, my personal opinions were maybe rampant at times and straightforward at times, but I was thinking about myself. I was thinking selfishly. Yes, I was maybe at points trying to include my wife. I was learning. I'm sure others have had these issues before in their lives, and if not, they're good. Enjoy them when they come. I later learned how I needed to serve in order to lead. If we live for others, this was a question that I had asked earlier. If we live for others, do we have no self-worth? Well, of course we have self-worth. But do we? Well, really, when we become new creations in Christ, we now find our worth and work in Christ. We have a new identity. And we need not to do anything out of rivalry or conceit. When we think about ourselves above others, we can become conceited. I've done it before. Maybe you've done it once or twice. And this comes from, and that itself comes from the root of selfishness. To be selfless, we must not be selfish and to try to impress others. As I was getting this sermon, I thought about this exact thing for myself. I do not want to try to impress. I want to lead. I want to direct. I want the word of God to go forth. I don't want me to be anything of worth in the sense of I am a new creation in Christ. I need to preach and teach God's word, not to impress, but to first be humble, thinking of you guys first. We need to do the same. We need to think of others. Question two that I had earlier, do we live for others? We found out that we should from the scriptures, from Paul. But I love that Paul used verse 3 before verse 4. I know that's a coincidence that 3 and then 4 comes afterwards. But towards the end of verse 3, Paul uses the word significant. I know I was talking to my wife about this with the Greek because she had taken Greek, so she knew a little bit with Greek, but I'm not going to try to say the Greek word. Maybe if I give her something, the Bible, she could look at it later on. You can talk to her about it. I'm putting her on the spot. In English, the verb tense ends up to be, in the English letters, be better than. So, if you guys have your Bibles, doesn't matter what translation you have, let's just read 3-3 together. And we'll start, when my fingers hit 3, we'll start. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Now, with the Greek added in there, so changing it a little bit, taking out a word, which is significant, we're taking out that word, and instead of significant, better. So I'm just going to read it to you. Do nothing from rivalry, man, that word, or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Better than? That's pretty strong language, I would say, personally. I would say Paul's key theme, as I talked about earlier with Philippians, could easily be living for others. Think about it when you read Philippians the next time. Maybe you have, but think about it as you read through. So again, another question. What does it mean to live for others and not ourselves? Well, I think of it this way. In order to live for others, we must follow Paul's example and live like Christ. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus. That's from 2:5, from here, from Philippians 2:5. We must do as Romans 12:16-17 says. You guys may remember it even too. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. When we choose to marry, we now no longer live for ourselves. We must love our spouse, and if we have children, we must love our children. We must first serve in order to lead, as I said earlier. Christ took on the form of a servant. This is in 2, verse 7 of Philippians. Took on the form of a servant, even though he was in the form of God. That's from 2:6, Philippians 2:6. This is true humility. And this is our example to follow. Humility is the total opposite of conceit. 2:3 talks about conceit. We must have the mind of Christ in order to live for others. And I read to you as well, Romans 15:2, which says, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. Again, verse 5 can help. This is Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's yours, the mind of Christ. But wait, read on verse 6, which says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Again, this is our example, Christ, who is the true king. Davidic king. David himself was a king, an example for us. He, Christ, is the true king. Christ did not hold the power that was his. He did hold the power. He had the power. But he did not hold it as something little, of little importance. But instead, he shows his authority to the Father amidst his own humility and submission to the Father in what he did and in his actions with going to the cross in the flesh. He showed the example of humility, of a servant. Last week, we talked about Naomi and Ruth. Naomi had great loss. In the midst of loss, she gained Ruth. Let's make sure I said that right, because last week I said the wrong names. Naomi and Ruth. Naomi had great loss. Kate, I did. In the midst of loss, she gained Ruth, her daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law who lost her husband, Ruth. Naomi, who lost her son-in-law, and another one as well. Ruth served Naomi. Ruth gives us an example as well of being a servant and looking to the needs of others over oneself. And ultimately, she gained everything in the end. She gains a husband again. She loses one husband. She gains a husband. She has a child, so her husband becomes a redeemer. The child is born. The line of Christ comes through all that. But again, earlier, if you guys remember, earlier I had said I would come back to my family with the dietary restrictions. As my wife says, three of us are garbage cans, as I said to you earlier. Three of us are not. Not only did this family that we were with, that invited, us to dinner, think about the outward presentation, but they thought about the effects of what would happen if the three in my family were to digest any dairy or gluten. They thought about the needs of those who would be in their care. They put us first. So think about others before you think about yourself. Think of them as more. Let's pray, and then I believe some songs or communion. We'll move to the next things. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for how you chose Paul to go the routes that he went to bring the gospel, and how we have these letters. We have your word that is true, and there is no fault in it, not one. And we can trust it, we can believe it, we can stand on it, and we can go forth and we can love others, we can care for others, we can put others first without thinking of ourselves first. But we can only do it when we depend on you and look to you for strength and ability. And I just ask as well, as we worship together here in song, as we've worshiped in word, but as we worship in song and as we commune together, that we would remember that you have done the work for us. In Jesus' name, amen.